and if a son, then an heir through God. I want you to imagine one particular Christmas gift, and it's been wrapped up, and somehow when all the presents got put under the tree, that gift was left up in the closet. And then this, at the very, very last minute, someone remembered, wait, there's another one. And it got put down there under the tree. And then when all those gifts were handed out, somehow that gift was forgotten and not handed out. And then at the last minute, somebody said, wait, there's another gift here. And so that one was given. And the person to whom the gift was given forgot to open the gift after opening all their gifts. And then finally somebody said, wait, there's another one. You need to open it. And after opening it, the gift was placed under the tree. They took all their other gifts off to use, and somehow that one was left there. Again, under the tree, unused, the owner's manual not even cracked. You may say, what am I talking about? In many ways, I'm talking about the gift we're talking about today. Forgotten, unopened, left behind, left out, and somehow not accessed by us as believers. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something that it struck me strongly and almost made me angry this week as I thought about this. No one, hardly even believers, associates Christmas with the Holy Spirit. And that is just flat out wrong. That is flat out unbiblical. We're going to see that today. In these Advent messages, we're talking about explaining why and exploring why God the Father sent God the Son to be born. Today, we're going to see that the Son came to bring the Holy Spirit to all gospel believers. And of course, this is so vital for us in living our Christian life, the way God wants us to live our Christian life. And the Spirit is the one who shapes all of our gospel progress. We need to connect the coming of the Son with the gift of the Holy Spirit and continue to remember that for our progress in the gospel. As Paul writes to the Galatians there, contending for the gospel, it's about the gospel, not adding to it, not mixing it with works righteousness, whether they be pharisaical observances, circumcision, law keeping of various kinds, or whatever they might be. As he's contending for the gospel, he's looking back on the event of the coming of the Son of God. This great event we remember and celebrate at Christmas. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, to redeem those who were under the law, Galatians 4, verse 5. Christ came to redeem those who were under the law, and that is, of course, the curse of the law, which all of us are under as sinners, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We talked about that last week. Adoption is where God makes believers members of his eternal family. What a tremendous blessing. And in many ways, all the blessings we're continuing to talk about today and in the coming messages in this series are further implications of the blessing of our adoption. And one of those is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because you are sons, Galatians 4, verse 6. In other words, in light of and because of our adoption, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This verse is a profound verse. We're only beginning to unpack it today. We're going to continue to talk about it in the coming weeks. And this verse, this is a profoundly Trinitarian verse. So, you know, some of us may remember, that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, there's a Trinitarian verse, and there's a couple other Trinitarian verses. Well, here's another profound Trinitarian verse. Look at this. The Father, God the Father, sends the Son, God the Son, to earth to be born as a man to secure our redemption and adoption by his finished work on the cross. And then He sends the Spirit of the Son to believers who are adopted. And the of the Son, it indicates that the Son as well is involved in sending the Spirit. And the Spirit doesn't work in separation from the Son. The Spirit is always advancing the work of the Son. As the Spirit is working in us, we're seeing more and more of and yielding more and more to the glory of Jesus. It becomes about Jesus, not about us. And if your kind of religion is about you, then you're not understanding the work of the Spirit. You're not appropriating the Spirit's work within you. It's always about Jesus, his finished work, and his glory. And of course, all that is here in this verse, as we are unpacking today, this aspect of the best gift ever. God sent his Son. We're going to talk today about three things. The Son brings the Spirit, and three aspects of that we're considering. First, the personal presence of the Spirit. You probably saw that in that verse there. The personal presence of the Spirit, the dwelling of the Spirit in the heart of each and every true believer. What a profound blessing. Then we're going to talk about progress in the gospel by the Spirit. The only way we make progress is by the Spirit. There's a lot of people trying to make progress, not by the Spirit, and of course they will never make progress. And of course, only the believer in Jesus has the Spirit and can make this kind of progress in the gospel by the Spirit. But it's so important, and Paul is arguing again and again here in the book of Galatians for believers to remember their progress is made by the Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the product of the fruit that the Spirit produces in our life through his work. The product of fruit through the Spirit. Character that the Holy Spirit produces in us. And of course, a lot of these character qualities the world looks at sometimes and says, hey, those are pretty good. I'd like to have some of those too. But of course, only true believers can have this truly Spirit-produced fruit of true Spirit-produced character. We're going to hear now how the coming and birth of the Son of God and all that his coming brings to believers the blessing of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, 13 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So profoundly, gospel-centeredness is Spirit-worked and Spirit-applied. And there are some people who say, oh, that Holy Spirit, that's just for some of those other kind of Christians, not for us. No, no, no. Every Christian in all of their growth throughout all their life is Holy Spirit-worked. We must remember this. There's a great study for you if you want to look at those 13 passages. And of course, today we're going to begin to talk more about how the Spirit helps us to reject gospel distortions. It's not just about grinding out Christian living. It's about staying true to the gospel. And the Holy Spirit provides that for us as we yield to him and submit to him. Let's talk first about the personal presence of the Spirit. We need to just ponder verse 6. But here's the truth there. The Holy Spirit is sent to dwell within every true believer. That should make our jaws drop. The third person of the Trinity dwells within you, believer. That should make our jaws drop. And here's what strikes me. Even the worldly framing in its best-case scenario of Christmas has the word Spirit in it, doesn't it? The Spirit of Christmas. Of course, that's a temporary feeling. What we're talking about is an eternal person. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of God, dwells within believers. Don't ignore that. Don't settle for this cheap version of Spirit that the world says, that's what it's all about. No, he's what it's all about. And he's going to bring our attention to the finished work of Jesus Christ and his glory. And that's what it's all about. Let's look at Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, And of course, the Spirit is the one who brings regeneration, but this sense of the The fullness and blessing of the Spirit is sent to every individual believer as a consequence of their adoption. So this is not like some believers some of the time, the way it tended to work in the Old Testament. No, this is all believers all the time. This is as because the Son has come, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The word Abba is the Aramaic word for father. And of course, when Paul wrote this, where it says father, he used the Greek word for father, and most of the English translations have continued the pattern of not translating the Aramaic and only translating the Greek. So it's father, father. But you know a little bit of Aramaic. Abba, which is the Aramaic word for father, and it's a term, it's a father of intimacy. That's the association of that word. We're going to talk more about that next Sunday, even in more detail. Let's think about two aspects of this. The Holy Spirit and His presence in us is evidence we are God's children. And now, when we were singing that song about the presence of God, it kind of sounded like it was out there somewhere. And it kind of like came in and flowed and like went out sometime. But what this is talking about is in here. And it's not like coming and going. He is in here all the time. That's the kind of presence we're talking about. And this presence is evidence that we are God's children. Now, so I've asked you kind of the question, hey, well, how do you know you're a Christian? How do you know you're a child of God? Well, and you might say, well, the Bible says you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and you receive. And it's like, yeah, that's good. There's some objectivity. There's a scripture promise and the truth of that. But there's a way the Bible argues, and maybe not be explicit here, but it is explicit in Romans 8, and we'll talk about that in a minute. One way you know you're a Christian, and Paul, I think, is arguing for that here, is do you have the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit? If you're like, I've never sensed any inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. Now, there could be two things going on. One is because of wounding and conditioning and whatever, the testimony of the Spirit is really there, but you just don't sense it. But if a person was not truly a believer, they wouldn't have any. They'd say, what are you talking about? I've never sensed any indwelling presence. I've never heard the Word of God and felt like, whoa, that's really it. I've never been worshiping God and like, man, that's amazing. I've never had that such experience. Like, yeah, probably you haven't because you don't have the Holy Spirit. But if you do have the Holy Spirit, you're like, yeah, you know what? I know what you're talking about, Pastor Bruce. And it's interesting, Paul does not say, hey, the evidence of the Spirit is, you know, this kind of got the Bible memorized, you got this long list of things, you got some tongue speaking or Pentecostal gifts, some amazing prayer answers or whatever. He says, you know what? It is this relationship, the inner testimony you have. That's evidence. So you don't need a long list. Hey, here's like the focus is relational. And the Spirit's presence is testimony, evidence. You're God's child. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And Romans 8, 15 says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. So there's inner testimony, and the Spirit's presence is evidence. The Spirit also then gives expression to that relationship. Whatever is being said here by this thing about crying, Abba, Father, it's not sort of like, you know, boringly stating, yes, sir. It's obviously that the Spirit is moving in a way that we express this relationship. Oh, Abba, Father. He's my Father. I'm His child. And is the Spirit doing it or are we doing it? Well, the Spirit is doing it so that we do it. We do it as the Spirit works, so we do it. It's not like just the Holy Spirit's having this little conversation over here and we're, you know, separated from it. No, the Holy Spirit is prompting this so that we do it. And as we do it, it's the Holy Spirit prompting it, expressing that relationship. This then is a profound reason, as Paul's arguing here, to reject gospel distortions, to not sort of add a bunch of works as the means by which you grow in your salvation, because you already have this intimacy with God. You already have this through the finished work of Christ. It's yours. Live in it. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Let's talk about progress in the gospel by the Spirit then. As Paul's arguing about rejecting gospel distortions, especially here in this context here, the distortion of adding circumcision and Jewish law keeping to the gospel, but of course all kinds of gospel distortions are being thrown at us today as well. He's saying reject these gospel distortions. Do it by the Spirit. It is through the Spirit these are rejected. And all this is then built on what he says about the Holy Spirit in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We're going to talk in a minute about chapter 5. But if I say, Paul brings up the Holy Spirit here in chapter 4, verse 6. And of course, he's already talked about the Holy Spirit at some length in chapter 3. And he's going to talk more about the Holy Spirit in chapter 5. So let's pan back to chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Here we consider a believer's progress. He's considering the issue, well, how do you move on? And of course, the legalist here were saying, well, it's fine that you received Jesus. It's fine he died for your sins. It's fine that you have faith in him. And now you need circumcision to move on. You need Jewish law keeping to really go ahead. And Paul says, no. The way you make progress is exactly how you started. How did you start? You started by receiving the gospel. Hearing about the finished work of Jesus, and by faith trusting in him. And that happened by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the text if you want to gear into Galatians 3 in your own Bible. You're certainly welcome to. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 talks about progress. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So the way you became a Christian, how was that? Paul's going back to that. Of course, remembering when he and Barnabas went there to Galatia and proclaimed the gospel, and then many of them believed. And then others there proclaimed the gospel, and others believed. And the same thing, of course, has played out in your life. If you're a believer, you heard the gospel, and you believed. Now, how did that happen? What was the motor of that work? Clearly, it was the Holy Spirit. The only way that gospel, as it was proclaimed, was embraced by you, was by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, brought you to life, opened your eyes, gave you a heart to believe it. So when you're claiming the gospel to somebody, you don't say, hey, you know, Jesus died for you, he paid it all, and you need to receive him, and then here's this long list of stuff. Like, do this, and then you'll be saved. No, you say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly turn to him. And that, of course, is the work of the Spirit. So you're going to make progress, Paul's saying, the same way. You're going to grow in your Christian life the same way. You're going to serve God in the power that he wants you to serve God in the same way. It's not by setting that aside and come over and say, the same motor that got you to church today in that car that's sitting out there in the lot is the motor that's going to get you back home today. If you rip that motor out, you can point the car there and say, go, it's not going anywhere. So it is with your Christian life. The motor is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one working when you came to Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the one who will work in helping you continue on in Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? This contrast of works of the law and hearing with faith is also in verse 2. Same phrase is used. So they heard the gospel, hearing, and by faith they received the gospel. And Paul's saying the same way you became believers is the way that the Holy Spirit is continuing to work in you now, and the Holy Spirit's going to make that work continue to happen in your life. The Spirit is the one who does it. So Paul argues from the the basis of their experience, not so much their experience, the theological realities involved in their experience and the theological realities involved in every believer's experience if they're in fact a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Progress in the gospel is by the Spirit the same way you came to faith in Christ, by the work of the Spirit. So it's not adding to the gospel, it's continuing in it and growing in it. That's what Paul's exhorting them to do, and that's what he's exhorting us to do as well. And then there's the product of fruit through the Spirit. This is something I think we need to once again associate with the coming of the Son, his incarnation, and his finished work. And as Paul, as he's brought up the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, he's already talked about the Spirit in Galatians chapter 3 and how the Spirit is essential in our progress in the gospel, and using that as a way to encourage them to reject legalism and lawlessness. And now, as we get into chapter 5, he's exhorting them to stand in the freedom they have in Christ. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Well, how do I do that? I want to stand free. I want to be free. I want to live and grow in this freedom. Well, he speaks of the Holy Spirit as how this happens. And of course, as we're walking in this freedom, we're walking by the Spirit. And as we're walking by the Spirit and walking in this freedom, the kind of freedom it's talking about is not a kind of freedom that says, well, I'll go off and just do what the world does, nor is it a kind of slavery that goes back to law-keeping. It is the kind of freedom that is in the Spirit, and in growing measure, the Spirit is producing in us character qualities. Another thing that struck me this week is to think about how when we hear the cultural message of Christmas, so often it is about love, and so often it is about joy, and so often it is about peace, and yet it's not the real love, nor the real joy, nor the real peace. And yet what this text in Galatians 5 is talking about is the real love, the real joy, and the real peace, not the world's distortions. And you can open your own Bible to look here. I'm trying to just hit the high points. But as Paul gets to some commands for believers related to the Spirit, and again, he's not creating a list here. He's really talking about a lifestyle. He says, but I say walk by the Spirit. This is a command for believers to continuously conduct our lives, our day-by-day patterns, in this reliance on the Holy Spirit, on this submission to his work in our lives. It's a living out of the gospel. As we cast our gaze upon the finished work of Christ, and we more and more are wanting to see his name glorified. It's not about competition. It's not about comparison. It's not about pride. It's not about positioning. It's about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brings that work about in us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we can say, hey, I want to do better at this. And the answer is not trying to do better at this so much as it is by the Spirit. Let me just share with you an analogy. If I told you about a pink elephant, and I'll make sure now you don't think about a pink elephant. But by asserting the pink elephant, you're probably thinking about the pink elephant. And the pink elephant of sin is even worse than that, because it's not just that God tells us not to, so there's a part of us that wants to, that we're fighting against that. But Paul talks about there's slavery to sin, there's even demonic spirits in sin, and there's a fleshly inclination within us related to sin. So this is a pink elephant that is always telling us we must think about him. So how do you beat the pink elephant that's always telling you must think about him? By trying not to think about him? Yeah, I don't think that'll work. How about if you were so consumed with Jesus, the work of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, the praise of Jesus, the finished death of Jesus, that you weren't thinking about the pink elephant anymore? I think the work of the Spirit is something like that. As the Spirit works in us as we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Of course, Galatians talks about how the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. The flesh is wanting us not to do what God wants us to do, not want to live in this freedom, but the Spirit sets us free. Bear with me, an analogy here. Yesterday, Lori had to grab a few things at IKEA, so we went to IKEA, and there I had an image of what being enslaved looks like, because I'm walking around that maze and that little arrow keeps pointing me, and it's like, how do I get out of this place? How do you get out? And they've designed it so you cannot get out. You have to stay in all the way. And I'm surprised there's not an arrow at the end that directs you to go back around again. Now, I remembered, and we should have done this yesterday. One time we were in there, we had that feeling. We just said, hey, you with the IKEA uniform, can you help us find the shortcut to get out? Oh, yeah, just this door right over here. The Holy Spirit is like that. When we're stuck in the maze of like, how do I live my Christian life? How do I do it? How do I do it? Oh, it's like, man, it's like, it's okay, wait. The Holy Spirit is the one that says, hey, here's the door over here, okay? This is how to walk in it. This is how to grow in it. This is how to live in it. Of course, there's things we do, the Word of God, prayer, and all those things. Those are good. But if we're doing those, like we're doing them, not by the work of the Spirit, we're just going to be stuck in the maze. It is doing, as the Spirit works in us, as we gaze upon the finished work of Christ, as God grows us in appreciation of the glory of Jesus. Now for some of you, you're like, yeah, that's what it's been like. I get what you're saying, Pastor Bruce. And for some, maybe you're hearing this, say, Pastor Bruce, you're losing me in this. And I want to say, it is by the Spirit that you walk in this day by day. And of course, the beautiful thing is, and this is just one aspect of the blessings of the coming of the Spirit brought by the coming of Jesus, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How does a guy like me, who's not naturally loving, have any modicum of love and growing in Christ like agape in his life? I can try all I want. I guarantee you, I'm just going to fake it at best, except for the work of the Spirit. How do we, in the midst of the struggles of life and all of its brokenness, have real joy? By trying to have joy. I mean, there's commands, rejoice and whatever in scriptures, but ultimately that obedience to those commands is a work of the Spirit. How do we have real peace when it's like, man, my list is so long, I can't believe all the stuff I have to do in the next 2 weeks? Well, we have those sort of moments, right? How can we have real peace, not fake? By the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says this, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. He produces that in us. Another way of saying that, Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, I take that to mean we have life by the gospel through the working of the Spirit, what Paul's talking about in Galatians chapter 3. We hear the message of Jesus crucified and risen. We believe in him. That's, of course, by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit and now then have the presence of the Holy Spirit in virtue of being God's adopted children, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. Keep in step. It reminds me back in my high school band, marching days. Yes, I was in the band. You had to look down the line and make sure you weren't getting out and back or whatever. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in alignment with the gospel. Live it out by the personal working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Paul's reminding them here they were formerly enslaved, either to religious legalism or pagan lawlessness. They've been set free by the Spirit. So live in that freedom. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. The Son brings us out of slavery into the blessings of being God's children forever. And that's not just so we sit there and say, isn't it nice I'm God's child? That's so we grow in that relationship and grow in glorifying Jesus, our Savior. And by the working of the Spirit, God gives us that. Amazing blessings coming through the indwelling Spirit. Can we just talk about our response here? There may be some here today who have not yet really received Jesus by faith. Maybe been around the things of Christianity, but the light bulb is starting to go off. And you say, oh, I see. This isn't about religion. This is about a reality of the finished work of Jesus and my personal response of faith in him, whereby now God gives the Holy Spirit to those who receive him. So if that light bulb is just going off today, I encourage you, take the step. Receive Jesus by faith. I just want to walk you through a few scriptures here in Galatians just to remind you of this. Personal faith in Christ is necessary for receiving the Holy Spirit. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, Paul says in Galatians 2:16, but through faith in Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus, you are justified. As we look at the scriptures, we know that you were already regenerated, quickened to life by the working of the Spirit of God. And God then adopts you into his family and gives the indwelling Spirit to all of his adopted children. You can have that today. This is not some out there kind of experience. This can be your personal experience by a personal response of faith. How is it that God did this? God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time to be born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law so that we might receive adoption as sons. We all stand under the curse of God because we've broken the moral law of God and stand under the judgment of God. The only way we can be delivered is by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Look with me at Galatians 3, verse 13. What a glorious truth. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. I hope every Christmas tree reminds you of that tree, the tree of the cross. That's where it was settled. And that's where the blessings pour forth from. Christ set us free in relation to the law's curse. Christ set us free from the law's judgment. Christ set us free from slavery to sin. Christ set us free so that we can now live for God as his adopted children. So, believer in Jesus Christ, continue by the Spirit. You've been set free. As he continues to work in you to apply the gospel, rejoice because of that gospel. Jesus finished work for you. Respond to him in faith as you hear the gospel and continue to hear the gospel. And take in the word of God, the gospel, and walk in the Spirit. Walk in and by the Spirit day by day. God sent his Son, the best gift ever. And one glorious aspect of that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hope you, from this day forward, will always associate Christmas with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, for how it speaks to us. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Jesus, we praise you that you came. We thank you for your finished work on the cross, that you gave yourself to redeem us from the curse of the law. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for your work in providing the Spirit. Father, we praise you for sending the Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we want to yield our lives to you. We thank you for your presence within us, that your presence has been poured out into the hearts of believers. Lord God, may we never ignore your Spirit. May we not think of the Spirit as some sidebar, but rather may the fullness of your Spirit's work in us be lived out as we celebrate the finished work of Christ, as we submit our lives to advance his glory. We thank you and pray in his name. Amen. Let's stand.